Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild of Lou and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the Twisted Thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the On Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, Our Soul and Art with Rich the Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasia and Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And every other Saturday, Visit with Gray Eyes, Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds as he brings you Bad Company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday to Saturday mornings. Join Victoria Frost Night with the Hearts of L&P. Tuesdays, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Wednesday, join Neutron on Cap as the After Midnight Bombers. Fridays are split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babylon as they teach you the fine art of part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows, calling to read your poems, hang for the fun, and even drop us a SoundCloud if you don't want to come live. Good evening, Pam. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's cold outside, but I'm inside. I'm warm. Looking forward to a nice, fun night of poetry and hanging out with you and other cool poets. Fleetwood Mac, definitely a great choice. Boy, they definitely went through some different changes, some ups and downs, some turmoil. They were a band that certainly fit a lot of variations of the rock genre throughout the years. Why don't you go ahead and tell us more about them?
Well, they started in, I think it was 1968. Peter Green, Mick Fleetwood, and I think John McVeigh came out of John Mayall's blues, formed Fleetwood Mac. Peter Green gave him the thought of keeping the guys together by offering up the band with their names, Fleetwood for Mick and Mac for McVeigh. Chrissy McVeigh was also in the, joined them as she was married to John, and she was part singer in the band as well. And they ran a gamut of blues on, let me see, I think it was 8 albums from 68 to 74. Lineup changes, Peter Green left, so Mick moved the band out to California looking for a new guitar player. That was in 74. And he met Lindsey Buckingham. He liked his guitar playing. He saw him one night in L.A. and invited him to join the band. And he said him and Stevie Nicks were a package deal. And so he invited them both. Lindsey told him to think about it. And he got down to talking with Stevie Nicks about it, and she actually was the impetus for why they did join. His thought was they're kind of a meat grinder band. They keep going through a lot of people, but eventually they did join.
Yeah.
That was New Year's Eve, 1974. 75 started their go with the band, and their first album came out that year. And yeah,
that was definitely
a
real time of transition.
Well, Nicks and Buckingham were already having their issues. They'd spent, they moved down to California around 72. He had a mononucleosis, so he was out of work for a year. The music angle wasn't going all that great. She was waitressing and making bets like hotels, and she was getting pissed off the scene. They got a little bit of a break. They managed one record. Then this deal came along, and they were already kind of on the outs. So they said, come on, we got to get this, what we've been waiting for. This is our chance, no more money problems, and actually getting back on track. But everything still fell apart between them and a lot of other people, too.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there some struggles with alcohol and drugs and just and then there was a lawsuit.
That all played a part because during the making of the second album, Rumors, everybody was having problems. By that time, Stevie and Lindsey had already broken up. Stevie had hooked up with Mick, who was in the middle of divorcing his wife. John and Christy McVay were in the middle of their struggles to get divorced, too, yet they managed to put that album out, which is pretty much, on the whole, the album is hitting on the notes of breaking up. I mean, Dreams was written by Stevie Nicks about Lindsey's breakup, and Lindsey wrote, Don't Stop as part of his reaction to their breakup as well. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those were some pretty, you could tell that those were personal, and they had a real strong sense of emotion behind them. And then they also had a lawsuit at one point about who got to use Fleetwood Mac as a name.
Well,
so there was definitely
that's kind of almost a no-brainer considering the fact it was named after two of the founding members of the band.
Yeah, very true. But despite everything they went through, though, they did create some truly amazing music. And I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, but the orientation from what was produced before 74 to what was produced in 75 and on was totally different. It went from blues bass into what would be labeled more pop rock, more available music to the masses.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. They did start putting out more for the masses, and that happens though sometimes with bands. You know, they have to choose. One question I've always been curious about that I want to ask. Now, other than location, is there what you would say, like, a significant difference or any difference between British blues and American blues?
Well, if you look at the early British blues, it took the American blues but gave it a little bit more of an edge, more of a they liked the traditional blues, but kind of amped it up a bit, where the traditional American blues that time was still was a little bit softer on the musically. It didn't get loud. It didn't get raucous. I mean, Jimmy Page took Led Zeppelin when they did their angle to the blues. They took it over the edge, over the top, where it was never heard before. He grew up on the traditional angle, but he didn't want to do just traditional. The same thing with a lot of other guys who did some stick with the traditional angle, but amp it up a bit and add a little bit more flow to the music itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. Well, thank you. That wasn't exactly on topic, but close enough, and I've always wanted to ask that question, and you're the perfect person to ask. So, very cool. And I would like to let you know that I have brought Confess on. So welcome, Confess. Glad you could join us.
Hi, guys. Hey, Rex. What's going on?
Hey, Confess. How you doing?
All
right. And how are you feeling after getting those wisdom teeth pulled?
Oh, my God, guys. I've never felt pain like this in my life, like through the whole maybe like a month now. Even when I was in Chicago, I just couldn't really eat. My mouth was hurting so bad. So finally when I got a consultation and they were like, oh, yeah, you need to remove all four of your wisdom teeth. I'm like, four? Oh, Evan, what are you talking about? So yesterday I just got two out because I was like, I can't just be, I can't be out here like this. So, yeah, yesterday I was just bleeding my butt off. So I was like, I didn't even know if I could talk, yesterday. But then I saw that it probably won't even have to come on. So I was like, oh, okay, good. All right, I get to write. So I'm doing good, though, today. As you can see, I'm talking.
Very cool. Very cool. And Rex, I didn't actually ask you how you're doing. How did your day go today?
Another wet day. It's raining again.
Yeah, I suspect I'll be like that for a while. But, you know, pretty soon it'll stop eventually. But at least it's a good time to be indoors and get stuff done.
Yeah, this is spring for us here. This is where all the wet comes in for what comes next.
Yep, exactly. All right, shall we get the ball rolling?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go through a few carryovers first from the New Year's show. And up first we have My Way by Doc Frank. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
My Way by Doc Frank. Do it my way. Ignore conventional wisdom. What's right is right, no matter what they say. Do it my way. True love is good, and wars are destructive. Peace comes when wise men agree. Anyway, do it my way. Slander is hurtful. Evil, look into your heart before destroying anyway. We stay my way, not astray. Love ballet. Never do betray. Give her a bouquet. Disobey. Your deeds should be display. Never do anything worthy halfway. Don't wear out your welcome. Overstay. One favor deserves another, so please repay. No matter what they say. Doing it my way. Today. And poem. And confess, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, things like Doc is, which he's always has a great right. I think he was really just trying to really say what he would want to do or how he would like the world to be, you know, in a perfect world. You know, we always use that cliche, in a perfect world. So it looks like that's something that he was kind of writing about. It would be great to have peace in the world. I was just going to make mention, like, have you guys noticed how much crime has been going on all over the place? Like, everybody's losing their minds. So I thought this was really really relevant right now for what's happening in today's world. Like, people are literally just losing their mind. Like, random acts of violence is just happening out of nowhere. So I thought that was pretty relevant to what's going on right now. Pretty good, right? I'm not really familiar with the band, so I'm not sure how it fits with the prompt, but I do know that this is a great poem. It's a great way of, you know, sending a message and just, you know, telling your readers, like, oh, this is what I wish. So, good, right, Doc?
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really like the way he centers his and shapes his stanzas so that it almost looks like a rose in a vase, you know, or just like, I really like how that end stanza goes out into a pyramid type shape. Wonderful. I'm guessing this was written to Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. And I like how it meets the tone of that song. I particularly am drawn to the lines, true love is good and wars are destructive. Peace comes when wise men agree anyway. Do it my way, slender circle, evil looks into your heart before destroying anyways. You know, I like that. He puts thought into the lines that evil will look into your heart before destroying it anyways. I thought that putting the word anyways added an extra depth of thought and emotion to those lines and gave, you know, the idea that if somebody looks into your heart and you're a good person, they'll react to how they know won't hurt you. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Excellent. It does look like a single rose sitting in a vase built, and it does hit on that sort of the offer. Maybe y'all can do better if everybody were to give someone a single rose for the day, or at least one day during the year, as a note to harmony. Nicely done, Doc.
I like that idea. Or perhaps another flower besides roses, but, you know, the idea of giving a flower as a nod towards harmony. I like that thought, Rex. And I'd like to let you know that Naomi has joined us. Welcome, Naomi. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Tonight.
Good. How about you?
Good, good, good. Just laying in bed with my computer screen and my phone.
Well, then, I should say, I hope we don't put you to sleep.
Oh, no, no. I have pills to do that.
All right, Pam, where you want to go next?
All right. Up next, we have I'm Not in Love by Colap and Confess. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. I'm not in love. So don't forget it. It's just a silly phrase I'm going through. 10 cc eons ago in another life, today -3 Celsius thermostat mounting, going around the sinuous mountain road that leads to a family chalet, our song, playing nostalgia station on the French radio, our song, your song, home recorded on a tape, handmade in secret with love, sent through the international snail pace mail to my corner of the world, the destination of your heart, unreadable now as tape players are extinct. A song when it came out a long time before we met, a tune that didn't appeal to me at first, perhaps due to the toy music box effects in its outro, a song, your song, which in the end became emblematic of our love, this song of ours. It's because I like to see you, but then again, your declaration of love, I'm not in love. No, no, no. Then you went on to justify and offer advice. Don't get me wrong. Don't think you've got it made. I'm not in love. No, no. It's because I like to see you, but then again, that doesn't mean you mean that much to me. So if I call you, don't make a fuss. Don't tell your friends about the two of us. Oh, I wait a long time for you. Yes, I did, and neither you nor I was at that rendezvous, that fate. Fata Morgana never etched in each source's agenda. Illicit branding, Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter, the second of Decalon's Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. In the end, this song was the longest conversation I've ever had with you. My tack turn on, a man of honor whose destiny offered no solace in the choosing between a path already traced and a love to break the mold of love, a monologue distilled in these lyrics that listening to them in nauseam as time goes by reveal crystal clear the magnitude of your personal dilemma, my dear. Be quiet. Big boys don't cry. Was this the price to pay that you had to die? End poem.
Great read, Confess. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
I'm not in love. It's as if she's trying to convince herself all through the song. I love the lines, a song when it came out a long time before we met, a tune that didn't appeal to me at first. He was, they were, that song. perhaps due to its toy music box effect and its outro, a song, your song, which in the end became emblematic of our love, this song of ours. That's like a metaphor for the relationship right there. And this is so well written. Bravo, Kalap. Nice, brilliant write here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Pam?
This is so beautiful and raw and honest. I like how there's the our song playing on nostalgia radio station on the French radio. I feel like there's always that one song that reminds you of somebody, that no matter what happens, if you go separate, that you'll think of them when you hear that song. I really like the stanza that said, "Ooh, I waited a long time for you. Yes, I did, and neither you nor I was at the rendezvous that Fata Morgana never etched in its sorcerer's agenda." I thought Fata Morgana never etched in its sorcerer's agenda was a really strong line, in the fact that, the idea that fate doesn't always go the way we expect it to go. And the fact that she put that thin line by itself, I thought was a great choice, because it's a strong line and it really makes an impact of, was this price to pay, was that you had to die? That just hits hard, in the idea that trying to deny a love that was obviously there, and in the end, knowing that you're never going to be able to reach them again. So just a beautiful write and very well done.
Oh, I just said, yeah, thank you. And Confess, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with Pam. And then I also, in my mind, I feel like she's going through some kind of remembrance, a memory of this person. And it's kind of also some kind of regret here in my head, because it looks like they may have even passed away, and she didn't even get to, really express herself to whomever this was inspired by, or the song may have inspired her. But the other thing, the part of the poem that I liked that I read was, I like the moments where it sounds like she's like in her own head, and then she'll say something out loud, and then the italics is like her inner thoughts or something, or that she's speaking to him. Or that's something that she may have wanted to say to him. And I thought that was pretty cool to have the reader see that. I thought that was very creative, and it brought a lot of more interest in the poem as well. But I love the end. In the end, this song was the longest conversation I've ever had with you. Maybe she didn't even have that conversation. Maybe this conversation was in her head, and the song just was something that inspired her to say, well, maybe this is what I should have said to him. So I thought this was really good.
Oh, absolutely. Apparently she didn't even like it at first, because perhaps due to his toy music box effects in his outro. Nice touch there. It did have it did come across as kind of soppy with some of the effects they used. But she's woven the lyrics in here too as part of their thoughts, and maybe the angle was on both sides, because of she does offer up, where was it, besides the Fata Morgana angle, she's got Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter, and then the one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not covet." So there is an angle in there that does point to at least one, or maybe both of them, already maybe married, or at least in a serious relationship. And this is kind of a secret, a no-no, something outside the norm that they're playing into. Yet the back end of this was the real heartache is that he died without them ever meeting, because it does hit on that note of supposed to be meet to meet, but fate, Fata Morgana, the mirage, the illusion that they never did get to meet. So maybe that's the back end angle, that maybe before anything else had gone on, they should have at least met. Nicely done, Camila. Yeah. Thank you. All right, Pam.
I agree.
Back to you.
All right. Up next we have Is It Time, A Possible Choice If Given by Poetic Prince R.W. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. A Possible Choice If Given. Winter's frost with freeze creeps. Do I go in a car to flee? Or do I bend a yielded knee? Seasons herald instead with glee. Perhaps I stay or to have migrate as nature's birds that flock in thee. Pack all of most of my things, dislike a squirrel packing seeds. The time to choose is now, no leaves of any on the tree. A chill wind is in the new air. Sprinkled flakes freeze, recede. I whiz in my car at highway speeds. Flight tickets are in my hand. Course is set to Bahama, Hawaii, or possibly even Thailand. Put on slips, shorts, and sunglasses, coconut sips with cool ocean dips. Glad I made my decision fast. Sabbaticals of time don't ever last. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you lead us off?
I enjoyed this one. And, my first thought was immediately the show Magnum P.I. came into my head. And, my mom used to have such a crush on Tom Selleck and his Magnum P.I. days. I thought on a technical level this had really nice inner and end rhyme. But I think what I really particularly like about this poem is that in its entirety it has a great message about how sometimes we just need to get away from the cold, or sometimes we just need to get away from the mundane and take ourselves somewhere where we can relax and take care of ourselves. I like that end line with the, glad I made my decision fast, sabbaticals of time don't ever last. It just reminds us of how important it is to take those sabbaticals and to, spiritually and emotionally take care of yourself and learn, just have fun and let go. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, the poem was very beautiful. I like there's a lot of personification here, especially when he goes like a squirrel packing seeds. He was like imagining, I was imagining someone packing a suitcase, ready to go, ready to just, like, I remember my friend used to just go up to the airport and say, okay, what tickets you got? And whatever was the cheapest ticket, she'll chose a destination. She probably never went, don't know where she's going, but she'll just go get a ticket anywhere and go. And I always was too scared to do stuff like that. Sometimes I'm there with Pam, like, some people just know themselves and aren't scared of taking chances and, doing things that make themselves happy. And that is great self-care, just doing what makes you happy. Who cares, what's going to happen tomorrow? I want to base my happiness for today because I don't even know if there'll be a tomorrow. I don't know, And when they started off saying winter's frost, frozen creep, do I go in a car to flee? I started laughing because it made me think of Chicago, how, it snows, it's cold, you're running outside, got to go to work, you're like hurrying up to the car. So it gave me that kind of scene. So the imagery here was very lovely and very relatable to people who hate the cold. So I thought you did a really great job. Thank you, Poetry
Camp. Thank you, Confess. And Naomi, how about you? You got to read it.
Oh, yeah, this is just a poem, an invitation to choose freely, you know, to just be wild and, you know, pack up your things and go where you want and, you know, make those decisions that are best for you and take time for yourself. And makes me think of the snowbirds here in Quebec that fly south with the V's, the birds that flock in V's. Yeah, they all pack up and they go south, mostly to Florida, but, you know, so perhaps one day I'll do the same when it's freezing cold out here, starting to get tired of the cold. But this is a wonderful, airy, happy write. Yeah, just so well written, great rhythm and rhyme throughout, so just bravo here, Poetic Prince RW. So just amazing, right? All the way through.
Great comments, guys. It does have that nice floating thought for this. It might be a little bit more in this, too, because it gets at that thought of, or do I bend a yielded knee, seasoned herald itself with glee, and pack all or most of my things just like a squirrel packing seed. So it's kind of the note to actually digging in for the winter or doing that. But then again, that middle stanza hits on another note. The time to choose is now. No leaves of any on the tree. Chill wind is in the new air. Sprinkle flakes freeze recede. Now that stanza itself kind of hits on the note of having nothing in the moment there. So the time is now, because there's nothing holding him there at the moment, whether it's love, another person or anything else. So that is the point where it is the time to choose, make that decision. And the back end is, hey, Bahamas, Hawaii, or even Thailand, maybe all three as destinations, and hits on that notice of sabbatical, gives that thought of taking the time for yourself, reassessing your life, the choices, and what you're going to do next. So might as well do that in the warmth and on sandy beaches somewhere else, sipping coconut rum.
I also think of someone who, you know, 6 months they'll go here, or they'll be home for 6 months, and then they'll have another place like in Florida somewhere. Like someone may live in a cold like setting, but it gets warm there. But then they'll go to like Florida because it's almost always warm there. So yeah, like having the options to be able to travel too, kind of interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys. All right, Pam, what you want to do next?
All right. Well, first of all, Rex, I really have to say I like the way you saw that poem and the whole idea that there's nothing holding the person back. And I thought your use of the word to reassess, you know, that was just spot on. So great observation there. And up next, we have The Collector of Words by Whirlpool Memoirs. Sorry, and I'll go ahead and give this a read. It goes like this. Words, they flow and ebb. They reverberate eternally in this brain chamber of mine. They echo, they roll, they slide, they rhyme. And most of the time, they're nonsensical like this line. They're twisted and convoluted, ominous and suspicious, silly and simple, rhythmic and staccato. They certainly have a life of their own. One moment, they're infused with scents of vanilla. The next moment, it's detto mixed with urine of a gorilla. Sometimes they'll roll sweetly like cinnamon and baked apples. Other times they'll dangle daintily like fuchsia in a Japanese wisteria garden. Then there are moments when they will leave me awake with the ultimate conundrum, like, am I charmed or beguiled? But what can I say? a hodgepodge of words praying to be thought of, unforgot. They'll sing me to sleep like a sweet sung lullaby. End poem.
Great read, Pam. It was a little note to humor with this. One moment there fused a sense of vanilla, the next moment to Dettol mixed with urine of a gorilla. I thought that was pretty funny because Dettol is an English cleaner, the better end of bleach, so to speak, something with a little bit more scented flavor to it, something to clean. But mixed with the urine of a gorilla, that was quite the emotive thought as, yeah, that wasn't very good. So it's a nice touch of humor to that, and it does hit on that notation of the voice. The collector of words, it's the angle of how they flow in your mind, how you put them down the paper, and how they are, at the end of the day, they'll sing me to sleep like a sweetly sung lullaby. So there's that notation to the love of words and their use therein to actually offer up something such as this, which offers up a lot of flavors plus some humor. Nicely done. And Naomi, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is relatable to any poet that, or any writer that, you know, puts down words on paper. You know, sometimes they flow and they are like scents of vanilla, and other times they're like urine of the gorilla. And, you know, sometimes they roll sweetly like cinnamon and baked apples, and, you know, other times, well, you know, they're just, you know, they're just, whoa. Red patch of words praying to be thought of, unforgot. And they'll sing me to sleep like a sweet sung lullaby. We all wish to, you know, to put words that are beautiful and rememberable, but sometimes, well, you know, our words are just, you know, but, you know, whether good or bad, you know, they all somehow, sometimes things that we think are not good touch people anyway, so, but this is a great write that touches a lot of poets, I think, and will touch, and is, like I said, very relatable to each writer. So just bravo on this write, and it has wonderful wordplay throughout, wonderful imagery, and just brilliantly written and done. So bravo again.
Thank you, Naomi. And Pam, you got to read that.
That was a really enjoyable read. I have to say, like you said, Rex, there's a great humor in this. You know, I like how she goes from the extreme of the scent of vanilla to Dettol mixed with urine of a gorilla. And I think many of us oftentimes feel that way about the words, the poetry, the song lyrics that are there inside of us. What I'm particularly fond of is that second line, they echo, they roll, they fly, they rhyme, and most of the time they're nonsensical, like this line. I just think that really stands out to highlight the humor in the write and to highlight how oftentimes our poetry almost like has a mind of its own. So I found this to be an extremely clever write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yes, I agree with you, Pam and Naomi. I thought this was a good artful write here with the imagery and the wordplay, which I feel like was the point, you know, because he has a collective word. So, and again, just like Pam said, that line, that they echo, they roll, they slide, they rhyme. You know, nonsensical to me, it's like not having any sense. It's like, what did you mean? And I just read a poem the other day from someone, and I had to ask them, like, straight up, what does this mean? Because sometimes the sometimes reading in between lines is so hard to do, and you try. You want to annotate it properly. I hate annotating something, and they're like, that's totally opposite of what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. But, you know, so I love to get an idea of what people say. But sometimes it is what it is, and you have to appreciate poetry the way it is. Been written sometimes, you know. So I think that's what that actual line probably meant too. And I thought that was a very creative way of saying it. But I thought this was a very nice poem.
Oh, absolutely! Thank you, Confess. All right, Pam. Where are we going next?
All right. We get back to the room, and up next we have These Old Hands by Dan Lake. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
These Old Hands by Dan Lake. These old hands are gnarled and calloused, and the fingers less adept, but they've served a taxing master who's left them drawn unkempt. They wipe the tears of anguish and applaud the talent so. They have pointed the direction and assured the way to go. They have gladly met and shaken, oh, so many other hands. They have built a home for loved ones. They have written in the sands. They have fought in bitter battles, gently touched the baby's cheek. They have clenched in desperation and caressed the fine antique. They have held aloft the newborn, also laid the aged to sleep. They cleanse the soul of bitterness and sown what we shall reap. They have touched the love of angels or have clasped in holy prayer and searched for the impossible to find it's just not there. And poem. All right, Pam, you get to start.
All right. Well, I have to say, this poem just, you know, I think I'm going to honestly put this poem on my list of just awesome poems because it flows beautifully. To me, I like how it's about a simple subject such as hands, but it's more than just the hand. It's the heart and the mind and the sense of spirituality behind the hands. It reminds me of that painting, and I don't remember does it, but it's pretty well known as the hands that in prayer, and it's just the hands with the light shining down on them. What I like is that it reminds us that through ups and downs, through tragedy, through, you know, joys, everything, you know, it is our hands that oftentimes are put to work, our hands that are hold still in times of reverence. You know, they have held aloft a newborn, also laid the aged to sleep. They cleanse the soul of bitterness and sown what we shall reap. Those are just beautiful and powerful lines. I thought this was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, I love how this is written. It was definitely easy to follow. It was easy to kind of picture what he's saying. I love a good imagery. And it was here that, you know, I'm even picturing these hands. You know, I'm picturing where these hands have been. I'm picturing who shook this hand, who held this hand, who may even flip the hand away, you know. So they wipe the tears of anguish. So you got wipe the tears with these hands. Yeah, you know, it's a very beautiful description of something you wouldn't even really pay attention to sometimes. You know, paying attention to those little details that's what makes this poem even more beautiful. Is something so intricate as a hand can make you think even more about something else, you know, a prayer, I'm sorry?
No, I thought you were done. My sorry.
Oh. Okay, I'm done.
thank you, Confess. And Naomi, how about you?
Well,
Well, you know, artists say that the hardest thing to draw is hands sometimes, and they practice over and over and over again just to get those hands just right. And, you know, he take those hands and you put them in this right here, and it's so beautiful, like Pam said there. It's such a worthy poem. You know, it should be a front page pick. I don't know if it was, but it should be. And this is just absolutely beautiful. And so like Pam said, so spiritual and full of love and, you know, an elderly person and all that he went through in his life and all that his hands have touched and reaped and accomplished, you know, over time. And, yeah, just a brilliant right here.
I think you had the right note there, Naomi. Thank you. On the being the hardest thing to draw. And it goes a little deeper than that. This also hits on that note of they may be gnarled and calloused right now, but there is still much to be offered from the mind behind the hands. And I think that's a good portion of what this is, that which can be shared onwards as opposed to the fact that the hands aren't what they used to be. It's the knowledge that's spent in those hands and what's been done with those hands that can be passed forward, which is, I think, a good point that's rolling off the dance piece right there. All right, Pam, coming back your way.
Really good point there, Rex, because oftentimes it is the rest of the body that starts kind of falling apart before the mind does. And so the mind, as you said, still has much to offer up. And up, we're actually going to be going on to the rites inspired by tonight's topic, Fleetwood Mac. And up next we have My Baby Done Left Me by Martha Gettle. And we have a recording for that. So, let me find that, and here we go.
My Baby Done Left Me by Martha Gettle. My baby done left me. He set me free. Now I sit here and wonder, how can this be? He didn't say nothing. He just walked away. Changed my whole world in the space of a day. Now I see the sun, but what does it mean? I thought it was love, but it's not always like it seems. Now I sit here and cry like never before, 'cause I know now he don't love me no more. Yeah, my baby done left me. He's up and gone, but I can't seem to stop this holding on. He told me the world spins round and round. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. I sit here alone with all these tears to cry. I never thought he'd ever tell me goodbye. And I wonder, what will I be if this pain never sets me free? Yeah, my baby done left me. He's up and gone, but I can't seem to stop this holding on. He told me the world spins round and round. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. I call him and cry, then say I won't no more. But I keep doing it the same like I did before. But he just says, you know, it's over for me. I'm gone now. You gotta set me free.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, let's kick it with you first.
Oh, I'm glad you decided to kick it with me, because I was sitting here thinking, you know, I was listening to it, and there was something about when Martha sang this song in particular that there you could hear the emotion behind her voice. And I was thinking, this is absolutely one of my favorite Martha songs. She kind of reminded me of Loretta Lynn as she was singing. And I thought it was very cool. And I thought it had, as always, you know, her flow and meter is just spot on. I really liked the line, "He didn't say nothing, he just walked away, changed my whole world in the space of a day." But what I thought was particularly clever about this is that, you know, she connected the first part and the last part. So there was kind of this circle around, because in the first line, she says, "My baby then left me, he set me free." And then the last line, "But he just said, you know, it's over for me, I'm gone now, you got to set me free." And I thought it was a really great write about the way that oftentimes when one person ends the relationship, the other person wasn't ready for it to end. It takes them longer to learn to walk away and to just, you know, take a hold of that freedom and let the other person go. So really just a great write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a very relatable piece. And I agree with Pam, how you can kind of hear the emotion behind it. So it may even be a true story. Never know. But in addition to that, I like the lyrics a lot. "I sit here alone with all these tears to cry. I never thought he'll tell me goodbye. And now I wonder, what will I be if the pain never sets me free?" And then, of course, the last stanza, she said she called and cried, and then she said, "I won't do it no more." I'm like, how many times have you said that? Like, okay, it's the last text message. I'm not going to say anything else. Are you not going to respond? Okay. You know, so it's very relatable, very, very modern here, where, you know, relationship problems, you usually put yourself out there, and that's why sometimes people decide not to do that anymore. But I'm glad that she was vulnerable enough to share this with us, and I thought it was a great write.
Nicely said, Confess. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I think she she rounded up amazingly, like an end of relationship where one is leaving and one, you know, still wants to hold on here. Very relatable to many, many people here. And just a marvelous write all through, rhyme and meter, just spot on as usual. Great write, Martha, here. Great song.
Thank you, gang. Martha took "My Baby's Gone," one of the blues songs from Fleetwood Mac's early days, with Peter Green doing the lead vocals and guitar work. And I thought this was a nice turn for her, doing something a little on the bluesy side and kind of walking with the language to offset and play with it. "My baby done left me, he's up and gone." "I call him and cry, then say I won't no more." She's got the right motif going on. "My baby done left me, he set me free. And I sit here and wonder, how can this be?" She's got that nice little blues motif going on with the thought and the verbiage itself, which I appreciate. Thank you very much, Martha. All right, Pam.
All right. Confess, your poem is up. Go ahead, give it a read for us, please.
Okay. This is called Black Widow. So I just took a lyric from one of the prompts, and I was like, okay, let me see what I can do with that. So that's where this Shattering Tunes and this Color Bloom. My vocals clinging to your eyes, indignant mood swings, actually pesky here. No brisky afternoon takes my soul more than hearing this delightful historic remembrance right here. So dear, come into my room. Don't fear. I've came too soon. I need you near to finish your cruel, sinful spoon. Sing up and down the town with news, wicked memories. You have me falling down. Take me right here. So dear, come into my room. Don't fear. I've came too soon. I need you far. So try again. So cruel with your sinful spoon. Crawling down my face, something trapped inside of me, knocked me down, spun around. Now you can't let go of me. So dear, come into my room. Don't fear me, please. I've came again and again. I need you now, and don't you pout. So simple that you can no longer see me. I love this face. Now look at your face, too scared to come near me. I need you now. Don't turn around. I can't see my prey clearly. No vein flickered. All he craved was love, but all I wanted was a sinful feet. Dusky dawn settled with mystery orange, mysterious orange. Word travel, and now he's gone. End poem.
Great read, confess. Thank you very much. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
This is a great write, confess. I love your the lines in here. you use color and metaphors in here and great imagery. Dusky dawn settled with mysterious orange. Word traveled, and he was gone. This is just amazing the way you twist around the words in here. I just find that it kind of draw me in, and a very enchanting piece, and deep too, and powerful. So just an amazing write here, confess.
Thank you.
Nicely said there, Naomi. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. I always like dark rites, which has a woman character of power. You know, there's a real sense of empowerment in taking and writing from the point of view of a woman who's evil and knows exactly what she wants. Now, when I do writes like this, people have told me before that I have one of those voices that's just too sweet for that. But I have to say, I know what they mean now, because you, me, you have such a darling, sweet voice. And to hear you read this really added to the creepiness of it. Because you do have that wonderfully sweet voice. I really like how you have lines like, so dear, come into my room. Don't fear, I've come too soon. I need you far, so try it again. So cruel with your sinful swoon. I like how you write this in that first-person perspective of the woman luring the man into her room. I really particularly like the second to last stanza. I can't see my prey clearly, no vein flickered. All he craved was love, but I wanted a sinful feat. And I thought those lines are really great because of the fact that it goes from being a story about a woman who will be a conqueror, to almost mythological in its elements, to being a metaphor in those lines for a relationship of misunderstanding, to where one person wants one thing and the other person wants another. So really just an excellent write and very well done.
Very good observation there, Pam.
Well, you did kind of start off with those first two stanzas were kind of light and airy until you got to that third one. So, dear, come into my room. Don't fear. I come too soon. I need you near to finish your cruel, sinful swoon. And from then on there on down, as Pam said, it kind of it does roll on that creepy vibe with the said the spider to the fly, so to speak. Yeah, come on in. It's all good. Everybody loves in here, but nobody gets out alive. It's got that kind of, especially when you hit on right down here near the end. I love this chase. Now look at your face. Too scared to come near me. I need you now. Don't turn around. I can't see my prey clearly. There is such a wicked tone in that note right there. And especially the next line down is, no vein flickered. All he craved was love, but I wanted a sinful feet. Boy, does that kind of hits on a note of the death strangle in the moment. Nobody here is leaving alive except me.
Mm-hmm. By the morning time, he was
thank you. Thank you. All right, Pam, where are we going next? Yeah.
No, she said she'll be right back. And she said Naomi to read next.
Oh, there you go. Naomi, you're up next.
Okay. Yes. This is the poem Dreams I Reinvent, written after the word, the song, The Chains. Dreams I Reinvent. Oh, he tells me that I am Ben, that he was waiting just for me. He tells me I'm the one, just made for his arms. He talks like a caress of words that don't exist, of forever and tenderness. And all I hear is his voice, not the lies nor the nonsense that a child would not believe. Because my nights with him are my churches. So I believe, yes, I believe. Come the dark hours when everything can finally light up. When lit lives are only shadows. In my dreams, I reinvent. Oh, yes, in my dreams, oh, I believe. And when time gets tired of only being killed, not a second passes. When from sorrow to mistrust, from tears to never again, from spite to defiance, I learn to resign myself. I take that absent look that people have on boulevards, the air that makes them transparent, and learn to turn my eyes away in front of people in love, to avoid all those who walk in pairs, those who kiss each other breathlessly. Is there an evening, a moment, when you say to yourself, it's not for me anymore? All the sweet words, all the bloodshed. But in my dreams, I'm entitled to it. Yes, in my dreams, I believe. So dreams I reinvent, always living in the shadows. Damn your love, damn your lies, damn poor me, because I believe. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And confess, why don't we start with you?
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm trying to get my words right. Okay. I really love this. It just blew me away. It was more so what I'm thinking here. When the title, I always try to see if the title and then the sound was kind of revealed to me where he's coming from. And here I'm thinking, I could be wrong, that you, especially in the line here when it says, and when time gets tired of only being killed, not the second passes, when from sorrow to mistrust, from tears to never again, from spite to defiance, I learned to resign myself. It's like here you, it was just like one of the other poems we just read previously where you be in a relationship with someone and, you know, you have those expectations for people and you know, they don't meet them. And you, sometimes you get angry and then sometimes you don't want to get, you don't even have a reaction. So when it says I learned to resign myself here, I'm thinking that that's what it means. Like I'm trying not to, you know, have a reaction. If I do, I'll check myself for it because I don't want that to happen. I don't want them to mistrust me or be gone. And then it says, I take that absent look that people have on boulevards, that air that makes them transparent and turn, and learn to turn my eyes away in front of people in love to avoid all those who walk in pairs and those who kiss each other breathlessly. It's like you're yearning for this love here, but you're trying not to have those expectations. And again, I could be wrong, but I just felt that those two stanzas really stuck out for me, and they were really beautifully written, of like hope and expectation and another word not coming out of my mouth right now. But you know, this is really great, right, Naomi? Thank you so much for sharing this. This was so inspiring.
Thank you, Candice.
Nice to say, Confess. Thank you, Pam. You back yet?
I am, yes. Sorry about that, Naomi. I forgot that you had a SoundCloud, and I didn't scroll down far enough.
Oh, no problem.
You did a beautiful read of it. I really like this, and what I like especially is the general tone and vibe of how you capture that idea of how when it comes to wanting to feel like somebody loves us, will accept those words, those that nonsense, as you say, and all I hear is his voice, not the lies nor the nonsense that a child would not believe. And I really like the line, because my nights with him are my churches, so I believe, yes, I believe, come the dark hours, you know, that idea that it's just, it's what you want, it's what you want to hear, and therefore you're willing to believe it. I really feel as far as imagery goes, like this is a great write all the way through, but I take that absent look that people have on boulevards, that air that makes them transparent and learn to turn my eyes away. You know, that whole idea of just feeling like you're trying to shut yourself down emotionally because you just can't face the hurt, you can't face the pain. And Dreams I Reinvent was a fabulous title, and I like that you put in the end stanza. So Dreams I Reinvent, always living in the shadows. The idea that that person, that man, that, you know, situation did not offer me up the dreams that I thought I had, so now I'm going to reinvent my dreams. I really find that to be a powerful line and a powerful idea. And the idea that, you know, sometimes when dreams don't come true, we have to step back and think, well, maybe there's a reason they didn't come true, and maybe, just maybe, it's time to reinvent them. So just a great write all the way through and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pam.
Why she said, yeah. I the title says quite a bit, Dreams I Reinvent. It's because you the way you've laid this out hits on the notation of that first stanza, how everything started, how everything was that perfect entity, so to speak. The second stanza hits on the evenings, my nights with him on my churches. So there's that nice notation of that which is in the moment. That third stanza kind of walks in that notion of where everything starts getting a little off kilter, when time gets tired of only being killed, not a second passes, when from sorrow to mistrust, from tears to never again, spite to defiance, I learned to resign myself. There's that notation of it dying in the moment right there, And then the next one is you try not to notice that which you see in others because it reminds you so much of that which you once had. And then the back end of this, I like the fact that you dropped in two notes to both the dreams and the chain, so to speak. So dreams I reinvent, always living in the shadows. Damn your love, damn your lies, damn poor me, because I believe. There's that note to succumbing and understanding in the moment wanting to reinterpret the dream to the originality, that moment when everything was just perfect.
Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Pam.
All right. Up next we have Go by Gerald E. Green, and we have a recording for that one. So let's find that. Here we go.
Written and read by Gerald Green. She should have listened. She should have obeyed. Her mother told her musicians were bad. She gave her a warning. She made it plain. It's what she told her. It's what she said. I can't pay attention when on the road or working in studios late at night. I need to follow my musical muse wherever it goes. I'm no socialite. Go write your letter and be on your way. It's best for your future if you don't stay. Go on your way. Do it today. Go on your way, I'll be okay. Get changed and floors won't be swept. More dust will accumulate in between gigs, but I'll never notice and will not care. It's not an apartment, but musical digs. It's music I live for and music's dance, inspiring and daring the fool in me. But it doesn't matter and cannot change because it's the way it is meant to be. Go write your letter and be on your way. It's best for your future if you don't stay. Go on your way. Do it today. Go back to mama. I'll be okay. End poem.
Great read, Gerald, and thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, kick us off.
You did say my name, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that was awesome. I really liked the addition of the guitar, and what a great twist. I mean, because, you know, there's been writes before on the whole idea of the Dear John letter. And there's been writes before in the whole idea of a man that will break your heart and mama giving advice, you know. But this has a really nice twist on it that it focuses, like it's from the man's point of view, the musician's point of view. and very honest that in lines like, I can't pay attention when on the road or working in studios late at night. I need to follow my musical muse wherever it goes. I'm no social light. I like that this has that just raw, hard-hitting reality in the idea of the musician saying to his woman, if you need to leave that letter, go ahead. If you need to go back to mama, go ahead, because I'll be okay, because things are not going to change. I am always going to be a musician. I am always going to be married to my music. I just thought this was an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is just that sound to it, those, the way he worded this all through just captures that feeling of, you know, musicians on the road there, just those rock bands, you know, the sheets won't get changed, the floors won't be swept, more dust will accumulate in between gigs. More dust will accumulate in between gigs. That's a great metaphor there for, you know, just it will pile on and it won't change. We'll just keep on going and things won't get better, you know. It's the only thing that counts is the music and the shows and the, you know, so they just drift from one place to another, you know, doing their gigs. And, like Pam said, it's a great take on that prompt, my baby's gone, go back to mama, I'll be okay, in the end there, and the beginning line to the way the mother warned her. But this just captures the whole feeling, like I said, of musicians on the road, their rock bands on the road. So I thought this was a great piece all around, very well written piece, kind of has a melancholy to it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, I found some kind of accountability here for him. Like, he's just owning up to his stuff. I don't know if I can use profanity, but he was owning up to his stuff. It's like, you know, it's like they even had a conversation about it. It's like, you know, she may have told him this may happen if you can't take a break or something. And again, I just, being my own little imaginative mind here, no conversation happened. But I can just picture that, and the fact that I can picture it just goes to show the good imagery and good writing here. And to have you have this thought-provoked way of thinking about this write, the sheets won't get changed, the floors won't be swept. Then you have the second to last stanza, it's music I live for, it's music, dance, inspiring and daring the fool in me. I'm taking accountability that I probably won't even be able to commit to you, and I'm committed to this. So, yeah, if you got to go home to mama, go home, girl. He didn't even say I'll see you later, though. You know, like, he just really just dismissed her. That's so rude. So I do see that melancholy you're talking about, Haley, but I also see kind of a player here, someone who just knows, just like any other rock star, right, that I can get another, so you can go. That's just in my head, y'all. But it was really good.
Well said there, Confess. Thank you. Well, Gerald did go with the blues angle. He took My Baby's Gone as his inspiration, but he also added the Peter Green's guitar work from I've Got a Mind to Give Up Living as the background music for this. So I thought that also was a nice touch. It lends in those extra bluesy, melancholy notes that you've noted up. And there's a couple of things. That opening stanza kind of hits on the note where everything's going. She should have listened. She should have obeyed. Her mother told her musicians were bad. She gave her a warning. She made it plain. It's what she told her. It's what she said. And there is that note also with this, you want to come be with us, be with me, that's fine, but you got to realize up front, the music is more important, and that's my first love. And the thought of not being a socialite is that angle of, yeah, we're always going to be playing, and that it's not an apartment, the musical digs. Yeah, it's where we practice, it's where we play, it's where we crash after a long late night getting ourselves together and in tune with each other. So nicely done, Gerald. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Up next we have Do You Jam, Dude, Who's Fleetwood Mac by Diane D. And we have a SoundCloud for that one. So here we go.
Do You Jam, Dude, Who's Fleetwood Mac by Diane D. How you become part of a band in 1969. They spread through their homeland like a fine bottle of wine. Albatross topped the UK charts with instrumental rock, where the likes of Eric Clapton and the Beatles took stock. Oh Well Part 2 on the B-side was a vinyl delight, but both sides played together was like day after night. No love for Rattlesnake Shake that hit the USA, 'cause it talked of masturbation, but it rocked the UK. Then with Buckingham and Nicks, they rocked out the pop, and a tale of their breakup put a new song on top. For Rumors made the headlines with Go Your Own Way, where breakups and drug use were in the lyrics they play. Album by album, they released song after song. The Chain from the Dance album had five writers strong. In 1998, they made Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with 100 million plus records. Fleetwood Mac is their name. End poem.
Nicely done, Diane. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I love how she, you know, she gathered all these tidbits of history of the music here in 1969, and she went down through, you know, the charts, the songs that topped the charts, and you know, where the likes of Eric Clapton and the Beatles, and the Part Two on, and she put in the vinyl. Those vinyl records, and yeah, she just went down with this, with these famous songs all through, and she put in really a piece of history here of this band, Fleetwood Mac, and this is very well written. I mean, it really flowed well, and just great writing all through. Just a wonderful, wonderful write here, Diane D. So beautifully done.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Pam?
Well, that was a wonderful recording, as always. Liked her choice of background music. What I like about this is each stanza tells us a little bit about the history of Fleet. And I thought it was a wonderful tribute, right? I like that in the third stanza she mentions the B-side. Oh Well, Part Two on the B-side is a vinyl delight, because too often people on the main side of a record. I also thought the stanza with No Love for Rattlesnake Shake was a great reminder how oftentimes people throughout the decades have had certain topics that have been taboo in music. And that's part of what rock and roll is for, is to break down the barriers of those taboo subjects. I like also that she touched on, like when you, where it says the Chain from the Dance album had five writers strong. I thought that was really cool that she put in that detail. And where she mentions the breakups and the drug use. What I really like now that she is a huge fan of this band, or she really did her research. And the way I just, props and respects to her. So, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Confess?
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of sort of the same thing that Pam said, where she just taught me something that I didn't know. And I mean, I have no idea. I'm gonna age myself. I don't know who Fleetwood Mac is. So, and I feel like I should have did a little bit more research on myself. But here, thanks Diane to the history and kind of just teaching me about them, especially when she goes into No Love for the Rattlesnake Shake that hit in the USA because it talks about masturbation, but it rocked the UK. And I'm like, oh, a song about masturbation? I don't know about it. You know, so it gets you interested in learning more. So it definitely inspired me to go do some more research on them as well and get to know who Fleetwood Mac is. So I thought she did a great job.
Well done, guys. Diane hit on a lot of notes that I hit on earlier, and she mentions Eric Clapton in here. But Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce were part of John Mayall's Blues Breakers at one time, so they would definitely have noticed Peter Green, McVeigh, and Fleetwood as they came along after them, because this would be around 65, where Clapton and Bruce were a part of John Mayall, because the next year they opened up themselves as Cream with one other very famous person, Ginger Baker. So, nicely done, Diane. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Well, I have to say I'm glad that Confess is inspired to go and listen to more Fleetwood Mac. And, you know, I think that's one of my favorite things about your music shows is people discover music that has been old favorites, and then people discover music that they want to learn more about. So,
hit on the next one, because we're doing Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
That is going to be an awesome show. I'm looking forward to that. All right. And I'm actually going to go ahead and read my poem next, which was inspired by Gold Dust Woman. This is The Woman and the Dragon. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a woman who fed the dragon. Every time a man broke her heart, the dragon ate. Every time a man broke a promise, the dragon ate. And every time she cried, the dragon had a meal fit for a king. The dragon was shimmering waves of turquoise and silver. Through this land of shadows and swamp water they walked. The dragon's eyes burned like pools of lava, and the woman's eyes were spirits and ashes. If you looked at them standing together, the lines between them blurred like a mirage in the desert sun. Some said they were one and the same, that when the woman fed the dragon, she was satisfying her own need for revenge. The dragon knew that justice was a difficult path to travel. The woman knew those who loved unconditionally were separate and yet the same. The woman was the pearl of the dragon, and the dragon was her guardian. They both wouldn't have told this to anyone that asked, but nobody asked because they believed the stories. They believed that walking up to the woman and the dragon was throwing oneself beneath the chains of death. No one approached them because they were afraid, and that was perfectly fine with both of them. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Confess, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I feel like this is another one of those poems I wish I could appreciate more, because I'm pretty sure this is based upon Fleetwood Mac. And I'm just trying, maybe they had a song. I'm kind of asking you the question too, Pam. Is that a song that Fleetwood Mac had, A Woman and the Dragon, or?
Gold Dust Woman.
Yeah.
Hmm? Oh, Gold Dust Woman.
The song is
okay.
Gold Dust Woman. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I see that now. Okay, I had to go all the way down and go into your author notes. But anyway, still a good imagery here. And, you know, you don't have to, as far as appreciating the art here, don't have to know Fleetwood Mac to know that this is a great poem, as far as you have a great imagery here. The woman was a pearl of the dragon, and the dragon was her guardian. They both would have told this to anyone they asked. You can definitely, it gets me thinking of the Dragon Slayer, the movie The Dragon Slayer, how he was very protective of, I forgot the character's name in that movie, but I thought that was pretty, the imagery helped me see that. And through the lands of shadows and swamp water they walk, you can see the swamp waters and the trees and how they kind of create shadows when it gets dark or it is dark. So still a great poem as usual, Pam. You know you're one of my faves, and I appreciate the share. And again, another poem that gets you more interested in learning more about this group. It was a great, great
poem. Thank you.
Thank you, Confess. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this is a great poem. I'm sure it is a great write to the prompt, but it made me think of, what was it, the series. She had a dragon there, and Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones popped up in my head as soon as I read this, you know, with she had the dragon that protected her all the time. So I was thinking it just some Game of Thrones all through this. And, yeah, this is a beautiful ride all the way through. You know, it's like, has like a fairy tale to feeling to it, a fantasy-like feeling to it. So, yeah, just a great write all through, Pam. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Naomi. And, yeah, sometimes when the inspiration I get from a prompt is a little more loose than other times. But thank you.
Well, this is all about giving into one's addiction, chasing the dragon, that opium dreams, the veil behind the smoke and vein that comes attached with it, and eventually death if you're not careful, because you allude to that down here, beneath the chains of death, and the fear of those who try to interfere, well, for two things, pushing one over the edge and not being able to do anything about it, which is kind of the back end of this. And that was perfectly fine with both of them. They're left to their own devices because they're one and the same at that point in time.
Thank you, Rex. And as always, thank you for the inspiration.
All right, where are we going next?
All right, up next we have Fleeting by Lockdown Larks, and go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
Fleeting by Lockdown Larks. Is it only yesterday that brings any sorrow? So is now the time to say, look for the sounds of tomorrow? Does it help to dwell on history? It's done and in the past. Live in a moment's glory. Trust in what destiny has forecast. Sing our song, don't be afraid. We'll soon belong in life's crusade. Everyone, everywhere, chasing space and time, looking for here and there, and which mountain to climb. A mirror can reflect what's inside, seeking out those important things. Know what is true, nothing to hide, a pathway clear and a heart sings. Finding those sounds of tomorrow, then will be a time to say, no space now for any sorrow, because it belongs to yesterday. And poem. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, this is full of very, you know, reflective wisdom in throughout this, and so beautifully written and full of hope, you know, and yeah, just brilliantly expressed. Here and there's wonderful lines throughout this. It is only yesterday that brings any sorrow. Is it only yesterday that brings any sorrow? So is now the time to say, look for the sounds of tomorrow. Right from that first stanza there, we were sucked in, you know. And all through, you know, sing our song. Don't be afraid. We'll soon be along in life's crusade. This all through, it just, you know, it just sings the hope of tomorrow. You'll look beyond the sorrows of today and the hardships that we're going through and just look for those beautiful rainbows in the future, you know, in the tomorrows. So just a beautiful light, yeah.
Well, thank you, Naomi. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, wonderful read there, Rex. And did you read this one? I did. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I forgot that. Nanosecond. Sing our song, don't be afraid, we'll soon belong in life's crusade. Everyone everywhere chasing space and time, looking for here and there and which mountain to climb. I feel like within those lines is the idea of good intentions, the idea of everyone chasing their dreams, but it kind of metamorphs into the whole concept of how it becomes, there's almost like this sense of chaos within those lines, the idea of everyone just running around willy-nilly. I really liked the second to last stanza with the idea of, you know, looking and seeing what's truly inside oneself. So just a really strong write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, agree. I also, I just feel like we are always chasing something, which is what I comment to a lot there. And, you know, we seem to, you know, as human beings, want a mirror, we can reflect what's inside, seeking out those important things, know what is true, nothing to hide, pathway, period, hard things. That stands alone right there, just kind of put it all in a nutshell for me with the poem, what he was really trying to say. Just like we need to keep reflecting, you know, because time is fleeting for all of our lives. Time goes so fast, and it is important to kind of be reflective of things that are important in our lives and also be mindful of what we want and what we need from others around us and ourselves. So that was pretty good.
Yep, I think fleeting was, you hit that note right, time is fleeting, and if you're spending all your time on yesterday's sorrows, then you've already killed today, and you're not looking forward to the tomorrows that might be out there. So you log yourself down in those moments, and it's not a healthy place to be. So leave where yesterday where it belongs, yesterday, and live for today and want for tomorrow. All right, Pam, what you got next?
Up next, we have Just Surviving by Adrian 41062. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please? Did Naomi have to go? Oh, she did. Okay. Confess, would you give that a read for us, please?
Oh, okay. Just Surviving. I can't carry on without you next to me. You left a letter and your door key. It said, goodbye. Don't try to find me. Please, I'm asking, just let me be. Broken. Tears roll, heart torn apart. Do you really love me from the start? This soul hurting, rejected, tell me why. All I want now is to curl up and die. My life's so empty, I'll never trust again. Every memory, every promise down the drain. My life's not worth living since you walked away. I will forgive you if you come back today. I feel so lonely, mood swings dance. This definitely will be my final romance. My life finished, but trying to stay brave. Thoughts so dark, destination a grave. End poem.
Great read, Confess. And Adrian took up, I've Got a Mind to Give Up Living. A nice blues song, and she dug into it hard with that thought about the destination for a grave, because I do believe it hits on that at least part of that note in the original song itself, but this hits on the darker side of blues, going deep down that rabbit hole. Nicely done there, Adrian. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, first of all, great comment there, Rex. You're right, this does touch on the darker side of blues, because sometimes blues is, you know, there's something almost, like healing, like you feel like the person's moved on. And here you don't feel that. You feel truly like they're ready for that grave. I was particularly hit hard by broken tears roll, heart torn apart. Did you really love me from the start? I think that's a question a lot of people ask when a relationship ends or they find somebody cheated on them, or a relationship becomes, abusive. You wonder if there was ever truly love there. I also really like why I feel so lonely, mood swings, dance. That idea of not being able to deal with the ups and downs and the swings of emotions, I thought was a really clever wordplay there. So just an excellent write and very well done.
And Confess, how about you?
I thought she did a really great take on the prompt 7. And one of the two lines that I really liked was, I'll never, my life's so empty, I'll never trust again. And then the other one that kind of could have even went after that is, I feel so lonely, mostly in dance. Because I've related so much to that, those two lines. And I was saying to her, like, we get caught up so much on what we think love's supposed to be from other people, and what we really should do is try to find out what love means to us and our own selves. And I think it catches the fall sometimes when you're dealing with individuals. You know, you know what your likes and your dislikes are, but it seems like when you don't know yourself fully, you can get lost in others, and then others can tell you what love is supposed to be, and then also tell you how you should feel about it. And then you get to this place of emptiness because you've given this person everything, and you've drained yourself to love this person who never filled your cup back up. So I think that even what it could have meant, and every memory, every promise down the drain, people just do that to you. And I'm hoping that even in this inspiration of a prompt, that this is not true, but if it is true, I'm hoping that it's very old and something that was just inspired, I'm hoping. But definitely relatable and definitely a great piece here.
Well, thank you. All right, Pam, where are we going?
All right. Up next, we have An Afternoon with Fleetwood Mac by Peter Solway. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
An Afternoon with Fleetwood Mac. Up the forests of mountains, long valley of studio time, finishing a nest of paintings. Back in the time of records, covers to look at, trimming up for an exhibition. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. North Coast mushrooms kicking in the world divine. And Eden without Eve, family distractions, art for all occasions, knowing death's completion. Symbolic house buildings, sirens singing, now to catalog title exhibition. Don't stop thinking. Yesterday's gone, cubism to come, old boyfriend, oral sex on his cockerel evening, prenuptials. Down to Darlinghurst Alley, his bride impatient, come take me out. Do some life drawing up Black Heath, like life students again, tomorrow of Fleetwood, pose of the minutes. Still warm with Lismore mushrooms, poor married master, fellow more embarrassing me, outlining a strip Susanna. Stones of denial, no satisfaction, sales minimal, art of loss, a brave fool's game, tomorrow no but more boss, planning for my funeral, cosmic approval. Coughing with Stevie weeping, keen as us in future dimensions. Back in that alley of Bacchus, wife planning bouquets, girl equals friends suggesting satin. Trail line down the infantile coast, sunshine of surf dulls the boast. Best place, building another house, like songs of Stevie Albatross. Sail above all lyrics, womb of colors, touch of blue and green, once upon that discus of time, its eternal thrust, gentle lips say, well, blue skies next. His wife blissfully ignorant, oh, to be a gossip promoter, fan of Fleetwood. No more insecure, Mac when turning down under, art for everywhere. Joyous watercolor, love still drying, God still trying. Mushrooms growing, quick as rain, ripe with meaning. Tour with obscure memories, species of strange fish, dead coral. Tomorrow on the boil, Bob's never-ending tours, no more eternal. Stevie yodeling to death, lost angles, grandma's radio, cubist incomprehension, slippery dip of regression down slopes. Karma inevitable, fame hunt regrettable, old vegetable with bristle. Back in the whitewashed room, tomorrow beyond musing, sweat home that sacred afternoon. In the valley of belonging, my island of varnishing, tombs to open. Love of healthy hubris, in years of bitten rats, Crawford's swollen canvas. Whatever, my ex-sailor, the drop anchor, believes a good Catholic. Forgotten, forgiven, remembering, every slapped about, thing, spit of venom. Art of completion? Wise use of blue, mountains in the far distance. Rich Stevie still singing, that Mac record without breaks, art of exhibition, sales joke. Framed and complete, task of love, my house still incomplete. Tomorrow sick with chains, joys of rheumatism, lockdowns of protection, roadkill. Would live back in that valley's corner, bend of varnish academies, a bragging turner. Fool worth fake sable can hear him say, but static from the future, Steve of tomorrow, amnesia. Getting more distance, like an infantile Shakespeare, gutter without rain. Sad equation of Einstein, wife has lost her license, so what young readers respond? My poem, my need to go on, noose from the rafters, limit of lines. When tomorrow comes, a treat beyond begging, when tomorrow's coming. Sweet across dreams lake, all of times, restrictions, all of everything. But as Stevie said, life is long and not so short. Happy with the hit, universal, like Hollywood star. Angel, still operational, light equatable. Having come so far, tomorrow just a passing planet, such is waving life. Anubis howling, stole my heart, dogs of death, fossils of silence, new eras not quite curious, when tomorrow comes, milking that sentimental line, boyfriend long gone, searching on internet, satellites of Lou Reed's love, beat, 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 and pump. All right, Pam.
Great read there, Rex. I have to say, this is a little longer than I'm used to seeing from Peter Sawley, but as always, he's just got strong, thought-provoking imagery. I really feel like a lot of what you were talking about at the beginning, when we were talking about, you know, the ups and downs, the drug addiction, the alcoholism, the divorces, the separations, the cheating, all of that seems to be captured here in so much of the imagery. I really like love of healthy hubris and years of bitten rats, perforated swollen canvas. Then I really also like near the end where he had the reference to Anubis and to Lou Reed's. I really felt like there was this whole idea of the transition from one kind of music to the next. He also really is very good at doing pop culture references like Turner and even the even Shakespeare, you know, getting more distant, like an infantile Shakespeare gutter without rain. You know, like, I just, there's something about the phrase infantile Shakespeare that really grabs your attention. Also, art of completion and a question, wise use of blues, mountains in the far distance. To me, that really speaks on the whole idea of the time period when they did go through that transition, and there was the question of, you know, is this where we're meant to be, and where are we meant to go from here? So really, there's so many lines that could be picked apart. I thought this was just a strong write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Confess, how about you?
Yeah, I'm making it really brief. So the part that I really was involved with as far as his writing in this was a strip Susanna Virginia Smarting's rating tomorrow's rate scoring of the fine close folk. Like, whoa. Is that right there, that stanza? What? Just to show you his talent and his skill of his entire poem, but that particular one for me just resonated more. So because, I don't know, who writes like that? I thought it was great. It had a little alliteration in there, some imagery, some personification, just had it all in that three-line stanza. Just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, this is a book from Peter, because there's a whole slew of goodies in there. I think the one thing that he did drop in here, he hits a building another house like songs of Stevie Albatross. Kind of got that notation of maybe the dissolution of what's going on, because Stevie Nicks was much the albatross for a whole lot of people. And he hits on Bacchus, and the mushrooms is a clever wordplay for the drug angle thrown out. But he's also got the Rolling Stones written into this. He's got a notable place like Lismore, Black Keys, Darlinghurst. What else we got? You mentioned that thought to infantile Shakespeare. So yeah, it kind of hits on that notion of being offering up the simple to the thought of art. But he does hit on the notion of art that walks all through this. But he also hits on other things, species of strange fish, dead coral, thoughts of poisoning the world, so to speak. And he hits on Cubist Impressionism. Then there's that thought, believe as a good Catholic, a notation of holding your beliefs worth more to yourself than that which you want to get into. And he hits on lockdowns, protection, roadkill. Again, Tina Turner's in this. This way too much to get into and I've already run out of time. All right. Thank you, Peter. That was a hell of a piece. Great show, Pam. Confess, thank you. And Naomi, thank you for coming aboard to help us read and comment. And we'll see you all again next week with a couple of rollovers and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
All right, you guys have a good night.